And as we are talking about Israel at war, don't forget our trip to Israel next year, September 2nd to the 13th. Or if you want to go to Jordan, we've got a 3-day extension there to Jordan, okay? We'll get the final price to you when Madison contacts us, but Junko will be leading worship, and it's great to have her on board when she is with us. Just to have an award-winning Christian songwriter with us is fantastic, okay? Let's see. All right. Okay, so as we begin then, let's go to prayer. Thank you, Lord, for our time together, and we pray that what we study would excite us about your soon and coming return, and we pray that it would help us to understand future events, look at them through your eyes, through the eyes of prophecy, and how it's all unfolding into your plan. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now... where are we? Okay. Now we talked about Israel past, why God created Israel. We talked about the present. This is the halfway point. Wow, we're halfway through this. And now we're at Israel present, what God is doing with the nation of Israel now, and future, what is to come and what can we expect to see with the nation of Israel. All right, now. So, remember the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 12, I'll make out of you a great nation and you'll be a blessing to all of the earth. Is that promise fulfilled with the creation of Israel in 1947? Okay, the answer is no. Okay, this is the territory that's promised to Abraham in the Abrahamic covenant. Okay, it's spelled out in Genesis chapter 15. And as you can see, it would include parts of Lebanon, Jordan, Syria, Palestine, and even down to the Nile there, Egypt. Okay, so that promise has not been fulfilled. They're not dwelling in the land in peace, okay, and security. This promise still has not been fulfilled. Okay, so what must happen before the Abrahamic covenant and the promises of Genesis 15 are fulfilled? What can we expect in days to come? Well, one of the first things that has to happen is that the church is to be taken out of the world. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4, and we're going to study that next week, in an event called the rapture, where the church is taken out of the world. Okay, and God deals directly with Israel once again. Okay? Remember, we are now in the church age. Okay? Israel's mission was to live in obedience to God and be a special nation, a light to the entire world, so that the entire world would come to know God. The entire world would come to Israel and say, teach us, tell us about your God. Okay? But Israel failed in her mission. Okay, they constantly lived in disobedience. And then, finally, the king arrived at Israel. He offered the kingdom to Israel, and they rejected their king and crucified him. And so now the kingdom is future. Okay, it's no longer at hand. His offer is now in the future. Okay, and we are in the church age. He has now bypassed the nation of Israel and is working with a new group of people to bring the gospel and the knowledge of God to the world, and that is the church. Okay, so presently we are now in the church age. Okay, that's the age we are in now. But one day the church age comes to an end. An event called the rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And this event could happen at any minute. It could happen tonight, it could be another 1,000 years, we don't know. But the church age comes to an end when the church is taken out of the world in the event called the rapture. And then God, the focus once again is back on Israel and his dealings directly with Israel and fulfilling the promises he made to Israel. Okay? So, while this is occurring, okay, that's the event of the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Okay? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive, who are left, be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we'll always be with the Lord. Okay, so one day Christ will come, and boom, the church, the true Christians around the world will be gone, okay, in an instant. 1 Corinthians 15 says, in the twinkling of an eye, it's going to happen that fast, okay, we're going to be transformed, and we'll be gone, all right? In the meantime, then, okay, God will continue to bring his people back to the land, okay? The formation of Israel in 1947 was truly remarkable, okay? Truly remarkable, considering it failed in previous decades. It failed at the Balfour Declaration. Finally, in after World War II, it came to pass. Okay, and there has been a steady migration of Jews back to the land of Israel, but God will continue to bring them back to the land. Okay, Jeremiah 30, for behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll restore the fortunes of my people Israel. And Judah, says the Lord, and I'll bring them back to the land I gave to their fathers, and they shall take possession of it. All right, now, after the church is removed from the world, okay, then begins what is known as the seven-year tribulation, okay, when evil is allowed to manifest its full force and God renders his judgment upon the world, all right? And after the church is gone, there will be a time of tribulation for Israel as has never been seen before. Okay? Jesus says a time of tribulation as has never been seen. Okay. Now, this occurs, Jesus describes the fate of Israel, okay, in Matthew chapter 24. Okay. Matthew 24 is the great Olivet Discourse. Okay, after they have visited the temple, okay, and they look and they say, you know, as they are walking out of the beautiful, magnificent Jerusalem temple, they say, wow, what beautiful stones, what a beautiful building. And Jesus says, you see all these? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. So this magnificent temple will be thrown to the ground. So they come to the Mount of Olives, and they are looking down at Jerusalem. Okay, so the Mount of Olives, they go down the Kidron Valley, and they go up the Mount of Olives, and you're looking right down at Jerusalem on the temple. And the disciples come to him and say, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Okay, and Jesus spells it out. Okay, he says, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of birth pains, okay? He says, it's going to get pretty bad, but it's just the beginning, okay? And so from verses 4 to 14, Jesus describes the present age that we are in. But, okay, he describes a time of tremendous tribulation that will come upon the nation of Israel when the church is removed and they go through the tribulation, okay? In verse 15, this is in the middle of the 7 years, okay? What begins the tribulation is the Antichrist and his empire rise, and they sign a peace treaty with the nation of Israel, okay? And we'll spell it out when we talk about the coming Middle East war and all of that, how this all takes place, how this new empire rises, how they end up signing a peace treaty with Israel, where is the United States in all of this. We'll get to it in the next couple sessions we're in, all right? But Jesus says this, in the middle of the tribulation, in the middle of 3.5 years, the Antichrist turns on Israel and breaks the covenant he made. And he sets up the abomination of desolation in the Holy of Holies, all right? An idol for the people of the world to worship in the holiest part of Israel, okay? So he says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on a housetop not go down to take what is in his house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. All right? In other words, okay, in the book of Daniel, okay, Antiochus Epiphanes, all right, in the 2nd century BC, he invaded Israel and Jerusalem, slaughtered all the priests, and then set up an image to Zeus in the Holy of Holies in the Jerusalem temple, and slaughtered a pig there, okay, desecrating the temple. And Jesus says, when you see that one more time, run for the hills. Don't even go back home and get your cloak. All right? Run. Okay? The Antichrist will set up the abomination of desolation in the Holy of Holies, just as he did, as Antiochus Epiphanes did. The Antichrist will do the same. Okay? Now, when he sets that up, then Jesus says, for there will be great tribulation, such as not been seen from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Okay? So from there will be a tremendous suffering for the Jews during the time of the tribulation as has never been seen before. Okay, so they are headed for an incredible time of suffering and tribulation. All right? So, here we have, okay, so the church is taken out of the world. God deals directly with Israel now. Okay, once again, all right, the Antichrist, after the rapture, signs a peace covenant with Israel, and that begins the 7-year tribulation. In the middle of it, he betrays Israel and sets up the abomination that causes desolation and a time of great tribulation, as has never been seen before, falls upon the nation of Israel. All right? Now, what can we expect then in the coming days regarding Israel and the Middle East? Okay, what can we expect then? Well, if the return of Christ is soon, okay, in the next century or so, we can expect the Arab-Israeli conflict to continue to escalate. Okay, and well, we'll talk about this. Or we talked about it a little bit. Islamic eschatology, right? Shiite eschatology teaches that the Mahdi is hiding in the well in Samarra, okay, the well of occultation. He's been there for about 1,200 years, hiding in the well, and he has not arisen, and what keeps him from rising is the existence of Israel, okay, and the infidel armies of the West in the holy lands of Islam, in Iraq and Saudi Arabia. So it's in their belief system, they are driven to get rid of the nation of Israel, okay? Ahmadinejad stated clearly, you know, what the Arab world is looking for or wants to do with the nation of Israel. Drive them into the Mediterranean, all right? There would be continued conflict over the city of Jerusalem, okay? Okay, what's the big deal about the city of Jerusalem? Well, that is the capital city of Israel. It is where the Messiah will return and sit on David's throne and rule his everlasting kingdom. There was the Temple of Jerusalem there, the most important structure in Israeli history, and still is the most important structure in Israeli history, okay? There's about 650 Old Testament Judaism doesn't exist today, okay? Why? Well, there's about 650 laws. Half of them have to do with the temple. And you cannot live out the Old Testament law of Judaism because the temple's not up. All right, so they need that temple up there, and the Jews are looking forward to the day when the Jerusalem temple will be up. Meanwhile, the Muslims, right, that's their third or fourth most holy site, even though they don't have any historical basis for that claim. They claim that's where Muhammad, he rode on the back of a donkey from Mecca, and he landed in Jerusalem, right, on that midnight flight. There's no historical basis for that event, but that's their third or fourth most holy site. And so when you go to Jerusalem, you can sense that tension, okay, walking around that entire area, all right? So although there have been nations that have tried to broker peace, at best it'll only be temporary, okay? It'll be a continued place of conflict there. Now, Daniel 9:27, all right, the Antichrist makes a peace treaty with Israel, all right? He signs a covenant with Israel, but in the 3.5, he sets up the abomination of desolation, all right? Now, one important thing to note then, okay, the temple has to be rebuilt. All right, so a temple will be rebuilt, okay, at the beginning of the tribulation. Now, when it goes up, we don't know, okay? It can go up right after the rapture. It might go up before, okay? But if you see a temple go up, it's time to really pay attention, okay? When the nation of Israel was formed, it really heightened everyone's attention to biblical prophecy, because one of the things for these prophecies to come true regarding the Lord's return is that the people of Israel had to be back in the land. Okay? Boom. 47, they are back in the land. Wow. All right? And another thing is that this temple will be up during the time of the tribulation. So if you see a temple go up, okay, we're really going to have to start paying attention then, okay? There are several scenarios in which a temple could go up. I don't think it'll go up until after the rapture, and I'll explain why, I think, either next week or the week after, all right? But the Jews are all set to put up a temple, right? They're all set. When you go to Israel with us in 2019, we will go to the Temple Museum. And there in the Temple Museum are all the garments and the utensils all ready for the priests. They've got the lineage all set up. And they're even breeding red heifers for sacrifice. They are all prepared for the temple to go up. Okay? Yes.
If you see the temple go up, be careful or run.
Pay attention.
Okay.
To believers, okay? The Olivet Discourse is for the Jewish nation, right? And they're going to suffer a time of tremendous persecution, okay?
So if the rapture occurs before, it still indicates then you're saying there will be some believers left behind.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, but if, like, for example, if we see a temple go up and we're still here, What I'm saying is,
we missed the boat.
Yeah. No. No, what I'm saying is, if a temple goes up and we're still here, then that means really pay attention, because perhaps his return is near. I mean, the right when you see the stage being set, the concert's ready to begin. All right? And when you see the guy start tuning the guitar, well, then you know you're really close. Right? Or when you see the guy come out and start checking the microphone, okay? Then you know, okay, we're about ready to begin. So when you see, I don't think the temple is going up till after the rapture, but, you know, I could be wrong on that. If you do see it go up and we're still here, then really pay attention because, boy, his return could be really close.
Because there are the various views, whether it be pre-trib, post-trib.
Yeah, and we will go through that. Okay. Yeah, I take the pre-trib, if you can't tell already, but, so if you see a temple go up, yeah, pay a lot of attention, okay? All right, now, Jesus said, okay, that there will be a time of great suffering, okay, and he calls this the time of the Gentiles, okay? He says, they'll fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Okay, the time of the Gentiles refers to the time of the Babylonian conquest, okay, all until the end of the tribulation, when the Gentiles, okay, have ruled over Jerusalem, okay, or have harassed the nation of Israel, all right? That's called the time of the Gentiles, and Jesus says it's going to be a tremendous time of suffering until that time is finally up. Okay, so it began with the Babylonian exile and begins till now. All right. Now, let's see. Now, Daniel 9:20. Now, there will be tremendous suffering for the nation of Israel, but, okay, after the church is taken out of the way in the rapture, God deals with Israel once again. With the church gone, okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're gonna study this passage carefully in our final session. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, okay? The Thessalonians thought they had missed the rapture, and they thought they were in the tribulation, and Paul says, no, okay? This is what must happen, all right? He says, now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and being gathered together with him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken or alarmed, either by a spirit or spoken word or letter, seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Okay? Now, what's going to happen? Well, the church is taken away, okay? And then Paul says there's the great falling away or the great apostasy. All right? The great apostasy, okay? So there's going to be a apostasy like we have never seen before. He calls it the rebellion or the apostasy, okay? So there's going to be a great turning away from the truth of God, and that allows for the arise of the Antichrist, okay, and his false prophet, all right? When with the true church gone, that allows him to rise. He makes a covenant with Israel, and then he breaks the covenant in the 3.5-year period. Okay, Daniel 9:27, the 7 weeks, the 3.5 point, he breaks that covenant, and it says here he sets up he sets himself up, okay, in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Okay, so Israel signs a peace treaty with the Antichrist, thinking perhaps he is their savior. And then in 3.5 years, they realize, oh, this is the wrong guy. Okay? They got the wrong guy. Okay. Now, it says here in 9:27, and he will make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, that's 7 years, and for half the week he shall put an end to the sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of the abominations shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. All right, so he makes a covenant for 7 years, but in the 3.5 year period, he sets up his abomination of desolation in the temple. Now, Revelation 13 gives us a little more insight on that. It says, and by signs that is allowed to work in the presence of the beast. Okay, this is the activity of the false prophet. As Jesus had John the Baptist, the Antichrist has his false prophet. Okay? It deceives those who dwell on the earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived, and it was allowed to give him breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. All right, so the false prophet makes an image, right? For everyone to worship, and this thing animates. It comes to life somehow. Now, how it comes about, whether it's artificial intelligence, whether it's the transhuman technology or whatever it may be, it comes to life. It animates. It comes to life, and he orders the world to worship it, and those who do not, okay, they are killed. Right? And then there will be great suffering for the people of Israel. Okay? Jeremiah calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. Okay, he says, thus says the Lord, we have heard a cry of panic, of terror, and no peace, and ask now and see, can a man bear a child? Why then do I see every man with his hands on his stomach like a woman in labor? Why has every face turned pale? Alas, that day is so great, there's none like it. It is a time of distress for Jacob, yet he shall be saved out of it. Okay? Daniel 12, at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as has never been seen since there was a nation till that time. Okay? And one day the nations shall lay siege to Jerusalem, to Israel, and they shall have a temporary victory. In the city will be trampled, says the women will be raped, half the population of the Jews will be left in the city, and at the end, Christ returns, okay, with his army there, okay, and lands on the Mount of Olives, okay. It says, behold, the day is coming for the Lord when the spoil taken from you will be divided in your midst, for I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be taken, and the houses plundered, and the women raped. Half the city shall go out into exile, but the rest of the people shall not be cut off from the city. So apparently, they get halfway to completely decimating the city. When? It says, then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations, as when he fights on a day of battle. On that day, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, that lies before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west by a very wide valley, so that one half of the mount shall move northward and the other half southward, and you shall flee to the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountain shall reach to Azai, and you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and the holy ones with him. So half the population, half the city will be run over. Then Christ will return and land on the Mount of Olives, and it splits. Okay, and the remaining Jews flee into the mountains and escape. Okay, and there they run and hide in that valley. Okay, so a couple things that are those are some of the things we can expect to see. Continued conflict in the Middle East, continued conflict over the city of Jerusalem. And it's interesting, isn't it, that Trump has declared Jerusalem the official capital for Israel. And he's the first one. Okay, all the presidents before him have said that. But he took action and moved. Okay, the American embassy in May began moving it to Jerusalem. And Israel says they're going to move their capital from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, okay, in days to come. And the entire Arab world says, when that happens, we're going to war. All right? So they're ready to pounce when Israel makes that announcement and starts moving their capital to Jerusalem. Okay? Now, how likely is it then that we will see a temple go up soon? Well, I think it's highly, highly unlikely that in the church age we're going to see a temple go up. I think, you know, with the Muslims and their holy site, they'll go to war before they let a Jewish temple go up there where the Dome of the Rock is now. It's their third most holy site. If Israel were to put up a temple or level, you know, demolish the mosque that is up there, the entire Islamic world would descend on Israel, all right? So I don't think we're going to see one in the church age. But something will happen to the Islamic empire, okay? And they will no longer be able to stand against Israel or mount any kind of attack. We will discuss that when we get to the coming Middle East war. But I don't think in this age, although anything's possible, in this age we're going to see a temple go up, okay? All right, so far, any questions on what we have discussed? Okay. Well, when will peace come to Israel and the Middle East? Well, it's not going to come, okay, until Christ returns, all right? It won't. Okay, now, some of you have commented, it's amazing that this tiny little nation of Israel has been able to survive. It's actually very remarkable, okay, that they've been able to withstand all the attacks that they have come under from the nations around them, completely outmanned and outnumbered, all right? But peace will not come to Israel until Christ returns and establishes his kingdom. All right? And in that day, okay, when Christ returns, he's going to establish his kingdom, okay? And that's the day when the glory of Israel will once again return like we've never seen before. He says, on that day there shall be no light, cold, or frost, and there shall be a unique day, which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but at evening time there shall be light. On that day living waters flow out from Jerusalem, half of them to the eastern sea, and half of them to the western sea. And it shall continue in summer as in winter. Okay. And he further describes, he says, the whole land shall be turned into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, but Jerusalem shall remain aloft on its site from the gate of Benjamin to the place of the former gate to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses. And it shall be inhabited, for there shall never again be a decree of utter destruction. Jerusalem shall dwell in security. All right, so that's not going to happen until Christ's return. Okay? These passages are not fulfilled. Okay? Israel, since her formation, has not dwelt in the land in security or in peace. They have always been harassed or attacked by the nations that surround it. But one day, okay, they shall dwell in the land in security and in peace. Okay, but that won't happen until the end of the tribulation when Christ returns, all right? In Armageddon, he destroys the armies of the world, okay, that oppose him, all right? That's when it's going to take place, okay? Revelation chapter 20 speaks of the final battle. Okay, it says, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, that is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into a pit and shut it and sealed it over him, that he might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. And after that, he must be released for a little while. All right, so at the end of the tribulation, Christ returns after the 7-year tribulation with the hosts of heaven. The armies of the Antichrist are gathered to make war there in Jerusalem. And he comes down and defeats them. The Satan is captured and thrown into the abyss, the bottomless pit, and he is locked in there for 1,000 years. Okay, and Christ rules and reigns from Jerusalem on David's throne for 1,000 years during the millennial kingdom. Okay, it says, then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom authority to judge was committed. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. All right, so at the end of the tribulation, okay, we are raptured before the tribulation. We come back with Christ. And whether we get to actually fight in the Battle of Armageddon, I don't know. I think it might be kind of fun, huh? To, in your full glorified state, to engage in a battle against evil. Might be fun, but they are quickly defeated by Christ. Okay? Satan is thrown into the abyss, locked up for 1,000 years. Okay? Then there will be those who go through the 7-year tribulation and they come to Christ. Okay? They realize that the prophecies are true. They will hear the preaching, you know, about the 144,000 from the angels. Who minister during the time of the tribulation. They'll come to Christ, and they will not worship the beast or its image. And Revelation says that they are beheaded for their testimony of Christ. Okay, they are resurrected. Okay, their physical bodies are resurrected here in Revelation chapter 20. Join their soul and spirit, just like what happens to us at the rapture. Okay, and they come to life and rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Okay, and as stated in the parables, those who are faithful, right, will be given much. Okay, and so those who are faithful, Christ says in the Gospel of Luke, right, you'll be given responsibility over 5 cities, those who are more faithful over 10. Okay? So we rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. All right? Thus fulfilling all the covenants. Right? The Abrahamic covenant is fulfilled. Israel inherits the land, and they inherit it in security and peace. Okay? The Davidic covenant is fulfilled, right? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. That hasn't happened yet, huh? Okay? The child part has been born, but the government is not on his shoulders yet. Okay? And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne, and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So here, when Christ returns, he defeats the armies of the Antichrist, and he sits on David's throne in Jerusalem, okay? And he rules and reigns for 1,000 years in Jerusalem, okay? Bringing peace to the land, thus fulfilling, okay, the Davidic covenant. This was said to Mary, okay? And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Okay, so after a time of great tribulation, Christ returns, defeats the armies of the Antichrist, and he rules and reigns in peace in Jerusalem on David's throne, okay, for 1,000 years, fulfilling now the covenants, right? The Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the new covenant. Okay, and Israel, what was the purpose of Israel? To be a special nation unto God, living in obedience to God. And the whole world would flock to Israel and say, wow, tell us about your God. What's going on here? Why is it so great here? All right? Israel failed in her mission. Okay, they failed. Okay, but that mission will be fulfilled when Christ returns and he sets up his rule in Jerusalem. Okay, we will see that there will be a national repentance in the land of Israel, and they will return back to their God, and they will fulfill the mission for which they were created. Okay, it says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Okay, that last phrase we find in the little garden at the United Nations. That's the dream of the United Nations. It's not going to happen until the king comes. All right? But in those days, it says, okay, the nations will flock to Jerusalem. Okay, and they'll say to one another, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord that we may learn his ways. What Israel was designed to do will now finally be accomplished. Okay, as the nations come flocking to Jerusalem, and it says the mountain of the Lord will be the chief among the mountains. Okay, it'll be the center from which the Messiah rules, and the nations will flock and be coming to Israel to learn about God, okay, and accomplish what they were meant to do. So God has not kicked Israel to the curb, all right, even though they failed and failed and failed, all right, he's still working with Israel, and one day, okay, the promises will be fulfilled that he made to Israel, and the mission for which Israel was designed, okay, shall come to pass, all right? We have not seen this happen, okay, so it's yet to come, all right, and he describes, okay, Isaiah, if you read through the last chapters of Isaiah, he describes that millennial kingdom, right? What it's going to be like. Behold, I will create new heavens and new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. All right, so there'll be a restoration, even in the created order, there during the millennial kingdom. Okay? It says if you die before 100 years old, you'll be considered accursed. Okay, as you know, in the beginning, in Genesis, they lived for hundreds of years. Okay, that'll happen again. Okay, as There will be human beings who survive the tribulation and enter into the millennial kingdom. They'll give birth, okay, and they'll be living long, long lives there in the millennial kingdom. Okay? It says there'll be no more weeping or crying in Jerusalem. Okay? There's never been a time where we can say that for the people of Israel. All right, if you're watching the news constantly, okay, there is a conflict there in Jerusalem. Okay? Then it says that they will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain, nor bear children doomed to misfortune. For there will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. But thus will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, says the Lord. So there is a restoration of even the created order there. Okay? The people will live in peace. They will farm and be fruitful. Okay? And it says here, right, the lion, the wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. Okay, there'll be no more killing there during the millennial kingdom. All right? Other passages say that the child will play at the viper's nest and not be harmed. Okay? The lion and the lamb will live together, and the little child shall lead them. So there's a whole restoration of the created order there. Okay, so salvation not only is for mankind, but it's for God's creation as well, right? 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and pray, then will I hear from heaven and restore their land, right? So the salvation and involves the restoration, okay, of creation as well. And that's something we can expect there during the millennial kingdom. Okay, it's going to be a magnificent kingdom. Read through the last chapters of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and it describes to you, okay, what the kingdom, the millennial kingdom, will be like. Okay, it's going to be quite magnificent. Okay? So that's the future of Israel. When the church will be taken out, then God deals directly with Israel again, and they're going to go through an incredible time of persecution and tribulation like never seen before. And then as the Antichrist attacks Israel and seeks to destroy her, then Christ returns and establishes his millennial kingdom, okay, which will be a magnificent millennial kingdom. And all the covenants and the promises made to Israel will then be fulfilled. Okay? Christ came, he offered the kingdom to Israel the first time. They rejected the king. They ended up crucifying the king. So the kingdom is future. It's yet to come. Now, this is the kingdom here, and all the promises are fulfilled. Okay? Any questions over what we call? Yes. Yeah.
And then we have children. So these babies are just, there's no such thing as salvation anymore during that time.
Well, okay. Very good question. You notice it says, let us go up to the Lord, to the house of Jacob, that he will teach us his ways, so that maybe we may walk in his paths. All right? So those of us who are raptured, okay, and those who die in the tribulation and are resurrected to life, they're in their full glorified state, okay? And they rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, there will be many who survive the tribulation, believe it or not, right? The stars falling from the sky and a third of the oceans turning into blood. Despite all that, there's going to be a bunch who survive, okay? And they go into the millennium. Many will come to know the Lord and be saved. Many will not. Okay, many will not. All right? But it says in Isaiah 9, he rules with a rod of iron. All right? And that he settles disputes, okay, amongst the nations quickly. All right? So there will be perfect peace because the perfect ruler is there, ruling over his creation. Okay, now. Revelation chapter 20, okay, after the 1,000 years are up, okay, verse 7, Satan is let loose out of the abyss one last time, because those in the millennial kingdom have not faced evil, and they need to face evil and make a decision, and many are going to follow Satan in a last and final great rebellion against Christ. And they are finally defeated in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And they are thrown into the worst place of all, Gehenna, the lake of fire. Okay? But, so, yeah, there will be many who go into the millennial kingdom and who get saved, come to know, and there will be many who are not saved. And when Satan is let loose after the 1,000 years, he deceives the nations, and many follow Satan in a final great rebellion against the Lord. So, yes, and there will be children born in the millennial kingdom. It says the infant, right, not die young anymore. Whoever lives to 100 is just a mere youth. Yeah. So, yeah, there will be children born who will not be saved. And when that day comes to choose, they will choose to follow Satan in that last and final rebellion. Mm-hmm. Yes. Any other questions? Yes.
So, teacher, you talk a lot about Israel. Obviously, you talk about Israel will face so many, you know, like the worst time ever, I think. But just to clarify, isn't it also, I mean, the whole world is undergoing this judgment? And
yes.
Mm-hmm. There, right?
Yes, yes, uh-huh. But it's the worst in Israel because that's where the Antichrist is. And the Revelation, it talks about a woman giving birth, right? And there's a dragon who wants to eat the child that comes out of the woman. And it says in chapter 12 that she gives birth and the child is caught up to heaven and rescued from the dragon. And it says that he was thrown down to the earth and his angels were thrown down with him. Okay, and it says, when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness, where she would be nourished for times and a half time. The serpent... Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, okay, on those who keep the commandments of God. So Satan's focus will be to destroy the nation of Israel. Why? Because if he can destroy Israel, he can thwart God's redemption plan for the world. If he can usurp the throne, he can take the throne, and if he can sit on David's throne, he can usurp the throne from which the Messiah is to rule. So, yeah, it's going to be bad for the whole world. You know, a third of the stars falling from the sky, a third of the rivers turning to blood, a third of the ocean turning to blood, fiery mountain coming and decimating a third of the earth. Yeah, it'll be bad, but the concentration of his attack will be in Israel, because that's, if he can destroy Israel, right? If he can destroy Israel, he can destroy God's redemption plan for the world. Okay, and God will not be able to fulfill his covenants and his promises made to Israel. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, any others? Yes. Huh? What? We will not be here during the tribulation or what?
And then, so we won't know who the Antichrist is.
Oh, okay, yes. If you there are three views on when the rapture occurs, okay? The beginning of the tribulation, the middle, or at the end, the post-tribulation rapture, where we go up and we come right back with Christ, okay? If the pre-tribulation position is correct, and I think it is, okay, I think the evidence is stronger for that one, okay? But it's, there's no verse in the Bible that says you're going to be raptured before the tribulation, okay? It just seems the evidence is there, all right? So, yes, if the pre-tribulation position is correct, and I hope it is, okay, we'll be gone, and, yeah, we won't be around to see the things of the tribulation, okay? So the Antichrist makes a covenant with Israel after the tribulation. Now, if the rapture happens anytime soon, then the Antichrist is alive. Okay, he's alive and well, and he's being prepared for that moment. All right? Who he is, we don't know. Right? Yeah, we don't know. But he will come. The ten horns, the ten horns of the beast, he comes out of that confederation. So he'll come out of the old Roman Empire, the revived Roman Empire, he'll come out of. Erwin Lutzer, he's a good Bible teacher from a church in Chicago. And he has a very interesting theory that makes a lot of sense. He says every generation there's an Antichrist in waiting because Satan doesn't know when the rapture of these things are going to happen. So he has an Antichrist in the wings, prepared and waiting in each generation. So he speculates that perhaps, you know, in the 40s it was Hitler and you know, whoever it is now, you know, Hussein, I don't know, whoever, Osama, whatever, I don't know who would it be in this generation, Putin, who knows. Okay, but there's an Antichrist waiting in the wings in every generation and stuff. So if the rapture occurs anytime soon, then yeah, the Antichrist, he's alive and Satan has him waiting in the wings, ready to go. No? Yeah, but hopefully we won't be around to see these things happen. Okay, but if they do start happening, well, I'm not going to argue, okay? You know, it is the post-trib position, okay? But I have discussed this and watched a lot of debates on this, and I think the evidence supports the pre-trib position. I think so. Okay, yeah. All right, any others? Yes?
Can you discuss the advantages and disadvantages on speculating who some of these end-time characters might be in the world today? What if some, for example, you name some possible people?
Yeah.
You don't have to name names, just yeah. Concept.
Yeah.
Is it productive to speculate? And what is the dangers of speculation?
Yeah. Yeah, you can speculate, but you don't want to be so definitive about it. Because when it doesn't happen, then you got egg all over your face, right? I mean, back in the 80s, who was the Antichrist? It was 666. Who had six letters in their name? Ronald Wilson Reagan, right? And when that didn't happen, what? And then all the guys were like, oh, you know. Then there was the other guy who had the formula, right? What was his name? He's on the radio. Anyway, A equals 1. B equals 2. So whoever has letters whose numbers add up to 666. That's the Antichrist. And if you do that, you end up with Kissinger. All right? So it was Henry Kissinger. Then, you know, the church that I was attending but left, the guy over there, Mr. Illuminati over there. Everybody was in the Illuminati. I was in the Illuminati. You know, Wayne Cordero, Rick Warren, all the pastors involved in the Hawaii Prayer Breakfast, all of us were involved in the Illuminati, the Satanic Illuminati. Michael W. Smith was demon-possessed in the Illuminati. Yeah, I mean, everybody was in the Illuminati. Anyway, hopefully that guy's gone. I don't know. Maybe he's still at the church. Who knows? Anyway, he was showing a video that Obama was the Antichrist, okay? And that the end of the world was coming with Obama. And he has come, he has gone, you know, and, you know, non-Christians looking at us going, look at those idiots. Man, everybody's, anybody they don't like is the Antichrist. He's the Antichrist. She's the Antichrist. He's the Antichrist. So, yeah, you don't take it too seriously, right? You can give an educated guess that maybe this is me, but you don't want to be so definitive because when it doesn't happen, then, you know, you got egg all over your face. So, yeah, speculating might be fun, but, yeah, let's not be so definitive and, you know, take it so, you know, be so dogmatic about it. And you want to avoid what we call newspaper theology. Yeah, you want to avoid newspaper theology because when, you know, you name specific events in connection with biblical prophecy and it doesn't happen, then, you know, it makes you look silly. And those of us who take Revelation literally, okay, we're not allegorical in our interpretation like the other views. This is what we get criticized on a lot, is that there are a lot of guys out there that do newspaper theology, and when it doesn't come to pass, then, you know, everybody says, look at all these futurists. You know, guys look silly, you know, predicting this and predicting that. You know, there's a preacher a couple years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, I won't say his name because he's on the radio. He makes all these things. He's still on the radio. And people still, I don't know. Anyway, he said there's a comet coming by the earth named Helena. Helena or Elena? I can't remember. And it's going to swing by the earth. And the magnetic disruption is going to cause a complete blackout of electricity. And it's going to cause an eclipse for 3 days and 3 nights. We are not going to have sunlight. And it's going to happen in October on the day of Rosh Hashanah. All right? Now, on many of the major Jewish feasts, things have happened, right? On Pentecost happened. On the Passover, you know, Christ was crucified. But on Rosh Hashanah, nothing has happened yet. And so he was saying, on Rosh Hashanah, this comet is swinging by the earth. Its magnetic disruption is going to cause a blackout like an EMP and cause three dark, you know, dark. And he kept saying, I'm not predicting that that's the rapture, but I need to warn you. You know, and this is all going to happen. But I'm not setting a date, but it's happening this October on Rosh Hashanah. And if I don't warn you, you know, the blood is on my hands. But I'm not saying that's right, you know. Dude, you know, you're. So anyway, everybody was calling me. Everybody was calling me and wanting to get together for lunch. They thought the end of the world was coming and Elena's swinging by here. And I said, is it so-and-so? And they said, yeah. And I said, there he goes again. Okay. I said, when will you guys stop listening to this guy? You know, he's always doing this newspaper theology thing and whatever. And, you know, everybody goes in a panic, and then it doesn't happen and stuff. So, anyway, be careful of newspaper theology and those kinds of things. So when it doesn't happen, makes us look bad, right? I think that's why Jesus hasn't come back yet, right? All these guys keep putting these dates out, And so just to spite them, you know, right? God doesn't come back, right, and stuff, so. Right, so when you hear another date, you're like, oh, no, here we go. We got to wait a little longer, or whatever, okay? Yes. All right, any others? Okay. Well, then, what can we expect in days to come? What can we expect? Well, continue to see the conflict, okay, in the Israeli-Palestinian lands. All right, it's amazing, right? When I showed that map last week, some of you commented how surprised you are. How much land the Arab nations have, the Muslim nations have, and how tiny, tiny, tiny little Israel is. And yet, it draws the attention and the wrath of, you know, the Middle Eastern world when they have so much land that they can be happy with. They have more land than they know what to do with. Yet they're focused on destroying the tiny, tiny little country of Israel. And it's absolutely amazing, yeah, how Israel has been able to defend herself and be victorious when vastly, vastly outnumbered, right? The War of Independence, the Six-Day War, the Battle of Yom Kippur, and others, okay? Expect continued conflict over the land of Jerusalem, I mean over the city of Jerusalem, especially with the U.S. moving the embassy to Jerusalem and Israel saying they are going to follow, all right? And the Middle Eastern nations said, once Israel makes that move, we are going to war, okay? We strive for peace, but it's only going to be temporary, okay? But nevertheless, okay, that's what we fight for. We fight for peace, okay, in the Middle East, okay? And the times of the Gentiles must be fulfilled. Okay? So what shall we do in the meantime? Well, we do our best, pray and work for peace in the Middle East, knowing, okay, that true peace to the not only Middle East but the world will not come until the King comes, right, and brings his rule of peace. Okay, until then, blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the sons of God. We try, you know, our best to establish peace there in that land, okay? U.S. foreign policy and in the Middle East has got to include Israel, okay? It's got to include Israel. Remember the Abrahamic covenant, right? I bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. It's still in play, okay? And one of the reasons I believe the U.S. is blessed is because we are the sole ally, pretty much, and protector of the nation of Israel. Okay, now what happens in days to come? We shall see to the United States and to Israel. Okay, the reason the Middle Eastern countries haven't pounced on Israel is not only that, you know, God protects them, of course, but Big Brother, right, the U.S. is here. So that's one of the things. As you go to the voting booth, look at your delegates and what is their view towards Israel. Right, and if you look at the Hawaii delegates, they are not, you know, right now they are not in the pro-Israel camp, all right? Even though one of them is Jewish, has not acted very favorably to Israel at all right? But you want to look at your candidates and see how do they deal with Israel. Our previous administration pretty much turned its back on Israel. Yeah. And so you want to see how, that's one of the things you look at in your candidates, you know, how they view Israel. All right. Know the sign of the times, okay? When you look at what's going on in the Middle East, you need to have biblical prophecy in the back of your mind. Okay, and see how these the things that are happening and the things that we're saying is not the fulfillment of biblical prophecy, but it certainly sets the stage, right? If these are the things that ought to happen, we should be expecting the stage to be set. And when you see the stage being set, you know the concert is ready to roll. Okay, and that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing the stage set. All right? And Jesus said, be ready. Okay? Be ready for his return. How are we to be ready? To be living holy lives, looking for his return with anxious hope, okay? And doing his work, right? Making disciples, okay? Faithfully until he returns, okay? All right, that's Israel future. Next week when we come back together, we'll be talking about the exciting event known as the rapture of the church, okay? All right, let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for our time together, for the study that we had. We pray that what we have studied gives us eyes of wisdom as we look to the Middle East and the things that are to come, that we may understand world events in light of biblical prophecy and knowing that all things are falling in according to your plan. And as we understand your plan for the ages, may we be encouraged, but also be anxiously waiting your return. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay.